Today's Shi'ur is Masechta Avodah Zarah, Daf Mem Dalet. We'll begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Mem Gimel Amud Beis at the Mishnah at the bottom of the Amud. Rabbi Yossi Omer. The Rabbi Yossi teaches us that if somebody has found the various vessels that we've been discussing in our Shi'urim that are considered Avodah Zarah, so Shaychik, one has to grind them up, V'zoyrik L'ruach, and throw them into the wind, or mapel yam, or throw them into the ocean. Like that, it won't happen that anybody will have any benefit from it. Amaloi, to which the Chum say to him, that isn't going to do the trick. Afu nasel zevel, because when you grind it and you throw it, it's going to turn into fertilizer. And the Torah says, we can't have any even minimal benefit from the Avodah Zarah, and therefore just leaving it in a situation where it may be used, may become useful, it's awesome. So, as we're going to see, the Gemara Masechta Bava Metzia, Daf Chaf Hef Amar Aleph, disagree, Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef disagree, what does Rabbi Yosef mean here? The Gemara over there explains everybody agrees that Rabbi Yosi means it should be thrown into the Yam HaMelech. But according to Rav's interpretation, before you throw into the Yam HaMelech, it's not necessarily to grind it. And according to Rabbi Yosef, opinion of Rabbi Yosi, not only is it required to throw it into the Yam HaMelech, it also has to be ground before you put in to the Yam HaMelech. According to this interpretation, in other oceans, not the Yam HaMelech, then nothing would be helpful. According to Rava, Yam HaMelech won't require grinding, and other oceans, Rabbi Yossi would say, would be acceptable, provided that you ground it up. So in other words, the machlokes of Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef is much deeper. According to Rabbi's understanding, is Yam HaMelech, according to Rabbi's understanding, Yam HaMelech doesn't need grinding. Other rivers, oceans, bodies of water will require grinding. And according to Rabbi Yosef's interpretation, only Yam HaMelech, according to Rabbi Yosef, is a option. There are others that learn the machlokes of Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef somewhat differently. They learned that everybody agrees, according to Rabbi Yosi, the Yam HaMelech does not need grinding. Other Yamim do need grinding. And the Machlok says, regarding which ocean was Rabbi Yosi speaking about? Al Gemara said that what is the problem of this? Because it'll be used for fertilizer. The Gemara, we're going to learn, on Daf Mem Ches teaches us that the opinion of Rabbi Yosi is Zev Zeh Goyrim Mutter. When something is made up of a combination of heter ve'isser, then it's mutter. So therefore, in this case also, even though this ground up avodah zarah is potentially being used for fertilizer, but it's not the only contributing factor to make this usable, but also is to make the whatever grows. But also grows because of the ground, and therefore it's considered zev zeh goyrim and it's mutter. However, Tosfos quotes the Rashbam that says that even Rabbi Yosi, who holds zev zeh goyrim is mutter, that's only b'dieved. L'chatchila, you should not rely on zev zeh goyrim. Because, moreover, Tosfos adds that even we are learning now that the ground up of Avodah Zarah is somewhat useful. By Chometz, we're also, it's Asur. The halacha is, if you grind it up, it's Mutter. And we don't have to be worried as in our Mishnah. And the Rishonim explain why. They explain there's a fundamental difference between the Isser of Chometz and the Isser of Avodah Zarah. By Chometz, the Torah says, Lo Yoichel. Once the Torah says, Lo Yoichel, so as long as you do what you can to make it not usable, it's enough. Whereas by Avodah Zarah, as we see now in the Gemara, it's much stricter, and therefore we have to make sure that we don't have any benefit from it. In fact, there's a machloikis rishonim how to learn this Mishnah. Rashi seems to learn that it's an issa d'rabbanan, that it's issa d'rabbanan because we don't want anybody to chas v'shalom have any benefit from avodah zarah. We have to dispose of it in a way that nobody will have any benefit. There are other rishonim. The Rambam's opinion is that this is not a gzeir d'rabbanan. What we're speaking about here is a din d'oraisa. The mid d'oraisa, we have to dispose of the avodah zarah in a way that nobody could have any benefit from it. Begins the Gemara Tanya, Amalem Rabbi Yossi. The Braisa teaches us that Rabbi Yossi said to the Chachamim, V'leik v'anemar, the Pasuk says, V'chataschem asher asisim as egel, L'kachti v'esrv oysu b'eish, V'ekas oysoi toinchain hetiv, Adash adok l'ofer, V'ashlach es afari al nachal hayorid menahir. Moshe Rabbeinu says that he took the egel, and he ground it up, he completely ground it up and threw it down and made it into dust. And he threw it in a way that no one should have any benefit from it. Amaloi. So from here we see, and Rabbi Yossi says, we don't see that Moshe Rabbeinu was concerned that somebody may have benefit from it. Amaloi, to which the Chacham say to Rabbi Yossi, Misham Raya, Hareya Omer, the Pasuk says that what did Moshe Rabbeinu do? The Pasuk says, the Vayizer apnei ha'mayim v'yaskas pnei Yisrael. So he put it on the water. So since he threw it into the water, there was nobody's going to have any benefit from it. Lo niskaven elavodkin besaitis. What Moshe Rabbeinu meant to do was by he put it into the water, and as the Gemara explains in Masechta Yuma, daf samach vav amud beis, there were three types of people that participated in the Cheta Egel. There were people that actually worshipped the Egel, and they died with a Misa Sayif. They were murdered. There were people who showed love to Avodah Zarah, Gifif and Nishek, hugged and kissed Avodah Zarah. Those people died Askara, by asphyxiation. Or some people died Misas Hadroikim. The people who Moshe Rabbeinu was not sure, what he did was, he gave them this water to drink, which had the ash of the Avodah Zarah, the dust of the eagle, and they were examined. The way most Rishonim explain, that worked for people who were samach b'libay, somebody who was happy about what happened, but it was only something that was visible in his heart. You couldn't see it. You didn't see him actually worshipping Avodah Zarah. Amalei Rabbi Yossi. So Rabbi Yossi brings another raya. The Pasuk says, like for Nemar, the Pasuk says that the Melech Asor, that removed all the Avodah Zarah that his forefathers made. The Pasuk says, V'gam es macha eim osa Melech Asir Megvira, he took his grandmother from being a powerful woman in the monarchy. That she made for the Asher Mafletzes. The Gemara is going to explain what that means. So we see that he ground up the Avodah Zarah and used it, and there was no concern that it's going to be used for fertilizer. Amrloi, to which they said to Misham Raya, you want to bring a Raya? Says the Gemara, it was thrown specifically to the Nachal Kidroin. The Nachal Kidroin, Einem Agal Tzmachim, is a place that doesn't have anything grow there. So it couldn't have been used as a fertilizer. Says the Gemara Veloi, is that true that the Nachal Kidroin is not a place that can be used for fertilizer? Ask the Gemara Vatanya, the Braisa teaches us, Elu Veilu. They used to have the blood of all the Kabbonis. Both the Kabbonis that were brought on the Mizbeach Achitzin and the Kabbonis that were brought on the Mizbeach Hapnimi, as they went out of a canal outside of the Azara, Mis'avim Ba'oma, they would get mingled in this canal, the Yotzel Nachal Kidron, and they went out and to Nachal Kidron. And what happened there was the Nukaram Laganim Lazavel, it was sold to gardeners for fertilizer, that blood, for my Alambahan. And there would be Mi'ila if somebody used it without having any Hanoah. So we see from here that Nachal Kidron is a place where things grow. Answers the Gemara Mekamim Kamis Yeshboy. There are different types of areas in the Nachal Kidron. Yesh Machim Shemegal Tzmachim. Yesh Machim Shemegal Tzmachim. There are different places that are used for, that are, some places are fertile and some places that are not fertile. The Tosfos in Masechet Chulin quotes Rabbeinu Tam that because of this, somebody who has an Avodah Zarah, somebody who counts an Avodah Zarah, should burn the Avodah Zarah just like Moshe Rabbeinu and grind it, just like Moshe Rabbeinu did with the eagle. There are other Rishonim that disagree, and they hold that it's enough to just put it away, bury it, and that's enough. So Rashi's opinion is that you could just bury it. Opinion of Rabbeinu Tam is that you have to burn it. The Rashba seems to say it depends out of what material it's made. If it's made out of wood, then the halach is that then the halach would be that it's burnt. If it's made out of a metal, grinding it up would be enough. This Gemara, interestingly enough, is also used to discuss a question, because our Gemara is discussing something that comes from Avodah Zarah. The focus has been about the ground up of Avodah Zarah. Rabbi Yossi's opinion is that we could be lenient with having Hanoh from something that emanates from that, the fertilizer. There's a discussion we have learned in our Masechta quite extensively about Stam Yainam. And Stam Yainam means that we're not allowed to, of course, eat, drink, or in any way drink non-kosher wine. What is the halacha regarding cognac and brandy? Cognac and brandy are made by boiling wine, and the condensate is turned into cognac and wine. And the question is, what is the halacha about cognac and brandy? So most poskim say that it's usur because it emanates from stam yenam. But our Gemara is teaching us that something that emanates from Avodah Zarah, but when it's completely changed, is not considered Avodah Zarah anymore. And therefore, it's an interesting question. Most poskim, of course, are machmer. The Gvasik said that one of the things that Asa did was that his grandmother made a mafletzes for Avodah Zarah, and he destroyed it. Ask the Gemara, my mafletzes, what does the mafletzes mean? She made much litzonis. The Avodah Zarah is considered something extremely insignificant, and they made it into, and that was the Avodah Zarah. Ketana Rabbi Yosef, Kamin Zachris Osoloi, she made a Avodah Zarah that looked like the male organ. Ask the Gemara, the Pasuk says by Chizkiyah that destroyed all the Avodah Zarah that was around in his time. And the Pasuk even says, V'chites Nechash Nechoshes She'osa Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu made the copper snake and they turned it into, people began worshipping it, and he destroyed it. So we see that he ground it, and presumably after he ground it, he threw it into the air, which is Rabbi Yossi's opinion, but the Chachamim disagree, because the Rishonim say that if, as we said earlier in the shir, he would have thrown it into a place like the Yam HaMelech, then you don't have to grind it up first. Amalei Mishem Raya, the Pasuk says, V'yoyma Hashem, Amosha Seilcha Sraf. Moshe Rabbeinu was told, Seilcha. What does it mean, Seilcha Mishalcha? This belonged to Moshe Rabbeinu. Since this Nechash Nechoshes belonged to Moshe Rabbeinu, they did not have the halachic ability to make an Avodah Zarah. Because Adam ain't Adam Oysa Davish and Shaloi. Somebody does not have halachically the ability to take something which doesn't belong to him and make it into Avodah Zarah. And therefore, Vahasim Badinhu, the Chetusi Love of Tzarach. Even grinding was not necessary because it wasn't really an Avodah Zarah. However, Al Kivin the Chazad, the Ketoyus Rabbas, right? Where Chizkiyah saw that people were starting to follow this Nechash and Nechoshis and that tree and start to worship it. So that's why I'm of a Kittisai. But not that it's really Avodah Zarah, with all the halachas that apply to Avodah Zarah would be relevant. Amalai, V'lai Kfar Nemar. The Pasuk says, by the Melchemes David with the Pelishtim. And David HaMelech prevailed over them. And the Pasuk says, V'yaz V'shamas Atzbeim V'yusim David HaNashim. The Pelishtim ran, and they left their Avodah Zarahs there. And David HaMelech and his people ground them up and scattered them in the wind. So again, isn't this a proof to Rabbi Yossi's opinion that you don't have to completely, you could just grind it and scatter it? Says the Gemara, my mash with the Havi Yisim, the David Loshna the Zriyahu. How do you know that it means that they were, how do you know, asked the Gemara, that it means that they were ground up? Says the Gemara, Kimitargim, Rabbi Yossi, Veruach Tagamisam, V'tagminam, V'tazrinam, V'ruach Mataleim. Says the Gemara, Amalei Misham Raya. From there you have a Raya who Raya Oymed. The Pasuk says, V'yaz V'sham Asal Lahayim, V'yam Adav V'yisruf Be'esh. Midlike Siv, V'yisruf V'yisayim, Shmamina V'yisayim, Mamish. That they actually took him. Not they were ground up. So it asked the Gemara, so now we have an even more difficult question. Mikamakam Kashu Kra Hadadi. In one place, it seems that they used actual Avodah Zarah. In another place, it seems that they burned it. Answers the Gemara, Ked Rav Huna. Rav Huna Rami, Ksiv, in one pasuk says, V'yom Adav V'yisruf Be'esh. In one pasuk, it says that David HaMelech said that they should be burnt. The Ksiv, in another pasuk says, V'yisoeim, that they actually took them. How do we reconcile the pasukim? Answers the Gemara, Loi Kasha. Kan she Kodesh Ba Ita Giti. Ita Giti was an Oved Avodah Zarah, and as we've been learning in our Shiurim, a person who he himself is a Nochri has the ability to Mevatel Avodah Zarah, and that's when, after he was Mevatel Avodah Zarah, they were able to take that actual, that Avodah Zarah. Kan La'ach Shabog Ita Giti, so before he was Mevatel it, they had to destroy it. Afterward, they were not. The Ksiv, the Pasuk says, that how do we see that Ita Megiti was Mevatel Avodah Zarah? The Pasuk of Yikach is a Teres Malka Mi'al Roishoi, or Meshkola Kikazova Evan Yikaroi, V'yitnu Al Roish David. The crown that they had on top of the Avodah Zarah, which they considered Malcolm, which they considered their king, they put on David HaMelech's head. Asked the Gemara, or Mishari, how could David HaMelech have worn such a king? Such a crown, Asurin Nana Nuhu. It's Avodah Zarah, and Avodah Zarah is also Hanoa, says the Gemara, from here we see that what must have happened was Ita Giti Bo Bitlo. From here, says the Gra, we have a riot to the Psak of the Shulchan Aruch, that the Shulchan Aruch says that not only Avodah Zarah should be burnt, but anything that's used as an ornamentation for the Avodah Zarah, that's why it should be burnt. I saw that Rabbi Yonason Eipschitz in his Sefer Tveris Yonason explains, the Pasuk says that we just learned in the Gemara that Moshe Rabbeinu was commanded, that Moshe Rabbeinu was supposed to use his own funds to destroy, to make the Nechash and Nechoshes. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu have to use his own funds? So Rabbi Yonason Eipschitz says, but who's the one that brought the Avodah Zarah into Klal Yisrael? The Erev Rav. And it was Moshe Rabbeinu who brought the Erev Rav into Klal Yisrael, and that's why Moshe Rabbeinu had to fix that Avera. And that's why he says the Pasuk that speaks about the oil that was used in the Mishkan uses similar wording. The Pasuk says, V'yichu lecha shem and zayis. And the question is, why was Moshe Rabbeinu commanded, V'yichu lecha, that he should be the one to bring the shem and zayis? So says the Tveris Yonason. Because what is the unique characteristic of olive oil? The unique characteristic of olive oil doesn't mix up with anything, with any other oil. Moshe Rabbeinu, as we're seeing now, was the one that brought the Erev Rav into Klal Yisrael, which, as we know, created so many problems with Klal Yisrael. So Moshe Rabbeinu was told, the Yichu Elecha, you, Moshe Rabbeinu, should take the lesson of the Shemen Zayis, that the Shemen Zayis should be the one that you should be careful to learn that we should not mix up, not bring the Erev Rav into Klal Yisrael. Ask the Gemara, but the Pasuk says regarding this crown, Mishkala Kikazov, which is very heavy. And the question is, Heichim Matzah Manachla, how could have Moshe Rabbeinu, how could have David HaMelech possibly put on his head a crown which is so heavy? Answer the Gemara, Amar Yudam Rav Ruya Lenuch Rosh David. What the Pasuk means is that it was something that Moshe, that he could wear. So I saw that the Kotzker explains that this whole concept of monarchy, of melucha, is not really something that is part of Klal Yisrael's approach to thing. We believe melucha belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not to anyone else. David HaMelech, who we know, he says, was a descendant of Rus, so he had, so to speak, in his blood, that blood of people who are from the Umas Ha'olam, that the Umas Ha'olam are not, in the Umas Ha'olam, there is a concept of Melucha. And that's why the Gemara says the Kotzker, that David HaMelech was the one that was able to wear a crown, because he was part of that. He came from a background that had Melucha in it. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina Amar, Evan Shavas Ha'isabah, there was a magnet. The way most Rishonim learn, there was a magnet above the crown, Davos Darla. And because there was a magnet there, it had the crown suspended. And by having the crown suspended, it didn't have to lay right on his head. Rabbi Lazar Eimer, Evan Yukos, what it means that it weighed that much, it didn't actually weigh that much. But rather what it means is, Evan Yukos HaHoysabah, there was a very valuable diamond, a stone, Shashishava, which was equal, was equal to Kikazov, which had the same value as a Kikazov, but not that the actual crown was weighed a Kikazov. The Pasuk says that in Tehillim, the David HaMelech says, Zois hoisuli kifu decho notzarti. My kamar, says the Gemara, what is David HaMelech saying in this pasuk, Hachikam, and this is what David HaMelech means to say, B'schashik v'ketecha notzarti, because I follow the mitzvah of Hashem, Zois hoisuli le'edis, this crown that we're speaking about in our shir, became testimony that I am deserving to be Melech. Asking Ramaya Dusa, how is it edis? Amar Rabbi Shuba Levi Shai Menicha B'makam Tefillah, David HaMelech would put on the crown on the place where he wears tefillin, the homasai, and it would fit on his head. Ask the Gemara, but how could David HaMelech put a crown on his head, but doesn't he have to wear tefillin, and the crown would interrupt where he's going to put on the tefillin? For boy nuchi tefillin, answers the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Shuba Yitzchak, Makam Yesh Barosh, there's a place to wear two tefillin. The simple way of learning this Gemara is that this place on the head to wear one tefillin shorosh behind the other tefillin shorosh. And because this place on the head to wear these two pairs of tefillin, he wore one pair lower and the other pair higher up. And he wore the pair that we wore that's lower, did not interrupt the tefillin. The Pasuk says that when they made Yosh ben Achazio the Melech, Yitzuas ben HaMelech, V'yitna lov as a Nezer ve'edis. Nezer zuklila, it's a crown. Edis Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Edus zula beis David. This was a proof that he was a descendant of Meis David, because says the Gemara, Shekola roi l'malchus, ha-masoi, whoever is worthy of being a king was able to wear that crown. So the Pasha Pshat in the Gemara is that the crown only fit on somebody who could be king. But there's a beautiful, the Pshat that many Mefarshim say is that there was, the crown had like a piece of metal from the front to the back. So how do you put that crown on your head if it has that piece of metal? So the Mefarshim explain that anybody who's from the Malchi Beis David had an indentation on their top of their head. And that indentation was the place where the crown could fit. And that's what the Gemara means to say. That whoever came from Malchus Beis David, and because they came from Malchus Beis David, they were people that could wear, that the crown was able to fit on their head. Anyone who did not come from the Malchus Beis David did not have that indentation in their head. The Pasuk says, by David HaMelech, he wanted to be the king after David HaMelech. But we know that David HaMelech wanted Shlomo HaMelech to be king. He wanted to put it on, this crown, according to the way we're explaining, he only people who have this indentation has the ability to wear the crown and is a proof that he's worthy to be king. Others do not. The Pasuk says by Avshalom, V'yasloi rechav afrosh v'chamishim ish rotzu lefonav. Mai revusayu, says the Gemara, what is the Pasuk saying, V'yasloi? What did they do so special? Tana, kulam netulei tchol. They had their spleens removed. V'chikukei kapas ha-reglayim. They took off the bottom of the feet. By taking out the spleen is what slows down the person. And they therefore that had the spleen removed, that wouldn't slow them down. And also the bottom of the feet, you feel the stones when you're running. They took out that part, and therefore they were able to run because they didn't feel anything. Rabbi Yosef Nechemya Kornitzer was the Rav of Krakow. And when he was accepted to be Rav of Krakow, he quoted this Gemara. He quoted the Gemara that the Kol Shatarai Homosai, by whomever the crown fit, simon hu shu mezera hamalucha. So he says, what does it mean, homosai? Homosai means, the Pasuk Pshat, as we learned the Gemara, is that the crown fits him. So how is it possible to say that everybody in the Malchus Beis David had the same hat size, that the crown should fit them all? So he said, the Gemara said that what was the issue with the Atara? The issue with the Atara is that it was very heavy. So he explained, anybody who accepted this position of being Melech and recognized that the crown is heavy, when somebody recognizes that the crown is heavy, then that is a crown that should be worn. Then he is right to wear a crown. But somebody who has a crown on his head, somebody who's given a very serious position, and he doesn't assume that this is a burden, he takes it just as an opportunity for honor, but he doesn't take it with way it should be taken, that it's a real burden and it's a real responsibility. That's the difference between the person who the crown fits on his head versus the person who the crown does not fit in his head. Says the Gemara, Shaul, there was a Nochri who was a Abikiris whose name was Procolus ben Philophus Esther Gamaliel Ba'ako. He asked him, Rabbi Gamaliel Ba'ako, Rabbi Gamaliel, says the Gemara, Shay Reichet from Merkel Shalabdruti, he was going into a bathhouse which was belonged to an Avodah Zara called Abdrutri. And he asked him, and the bathhouse apparently was, some say, Rashi says it was in the courtyard of the bathhouse. The Rishonim say that it was in the actual bathhouse. And he asked them, Amalei, and he asks Rabbi Gamaliel, Ksiv b'Torah Seichem, b'Taraskem, it says in the Torah, Lo'yibag b'yotchem u'ma menacherim, that we can't, as we learned earlier, have any benefit from Avodah Zarah. So, m'mnei ata roichitz, b'mechel shalab druti, how are you going into this bathhouse, which is a place which is a makam of Avodah Zarah. Says the Gemara, Amalai Emeshivim Merchetz. Says the Mishnah, Rav Gamliel's initial response was, Emeshivim Merchetz, we don't give an answer, we don't say halacha in a Merchetz. Kshiyotza, when they went out of the Merchetz, Amalai Rav Gamliel responded, Anilai Basi Begvula, I did not come into the territory of the Avodah Zarah. It wasn't that the Avodah Zarah was there before the bathhouse. He bought Begvuli. So the Gemara Pshat is that the bathhouse was there first, and since the bathhouse was there first, therefore the fact that the Nachrim put up Avodah Zarah there cannot make it also to be there. So the Tori Eved in Masechta Chagiga asks, how is Rav Gamliel allowed to respond with this answer? The Gemara Masechta Chagiga says that we're not allowed to teach the Dvar Torah Tanakum, as the Pasuk says, Magad Varav L'Yakov, Loya Sochen L'chol Goy, U'meshpatom Bal Yadom. So the Tori Evan answers that the halacha is that why are we not allowed to teach a Nachri Torah? Because the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin Daf Nun Tes says, Oyvik Chom Sh'os B'Torah, Chayv Misa. As the Pasuk says, Torah Tzivul on a Moshe Marosha Kilos Yaakov. Marosha means a Yerusha. It's a Yerusha. It's our inheritance that belongs to us and not to the Nachrim. Others say Marosha means Marosha. The Torah is married to Klal Yisrael, not to the Nachrim. So, says the Torah Oven, according to the opinion that the reason we're not allowed to teach Nachrim Torah is because Meirosh, it's a Yerusha, it belongs to us, not to them. If a Jew voluntarily teaches a Nachri Torah, then he's giving something that belongs to him. The halach is, you're allowed to give something that belongs to you to anyone that you want. And therefore, he says, this question, if you're allowed to teach Nachrim Torah, is really connected to the question, why is a Nachri not allowed to learn Torah? So if the reason Nachri is not allowed to learn Torah is because it's like an Eishes Ish, then you can't teach them Torah. But if the reason is because it belongs to us, so we voluntarily offer our Torah to them, then the halacha is that we're allowed to teach them Torah. And this, I saw the Chashuk Chemed has a very interesting discussion. He says that the way he asked the question, but there are different ways that the question is relevant. He says there, the Magid Shir in Eretz Yisrael asked him the following question. This Magid Shir gives a shir for elderly people, and these elderly people have non-Jewish aides. And these non-Jewish aides come to the shir, and they listen to the shir. And the question that this Magid Shir is asking, is he allowed to give the shir when he knows that there are Nachrim sitting and learning Torah? The same question will come up on a shir that's given online. Who knows who's listening to that shir? And why would that not be a violation that we just said we're not allowed to teach Nachrim Torah? So Rav Moshe, in the Igros Moshe Yerodei Chelik Beis, Simen Kuf Lamed Beis, says that the Isser to teach Nachrim Torah is only when you want to expressly teach them Torah. But if your goal is not to teach them Torah, as the example that we are giving now, your goal is to teach them Torah and teach people who are supposed to learn Torah, and everybody else is just sitting there and they hear, but that they're not your target audience, then the halacha is then you're allowed to teach them Torah. But then the question will come up, okay, so you're teaching them Torah because that's not your goal. But the question is, if they ask you a question, are you allowed to answer the question? Now, there's a much bigger issue because you are actually teaching them Torah. So is that considered that, what would be the halacha then? For that, we come back to the Tori Evin that we just quoted, that the Tori Evin has a much more lenient approach regarding teaching Nachum Torah, based on what we learned in our Mishnah. So the Gemara, Rabbi Gamliel said, "Ani lebasa begvula, he ba begvuli." Rashi, when the pasuk in Parshas Zayis Habracha speaks about the place that Moshe Rabbeinu was buried, the pasuk says, Rashi says, "Kivra shel Moshe hayamuchem mekaymim," that place where Moshe Rabbeinu was buried was there mishesh shmei breshes, from the beginning of the world. And the question is, why is it important? Why was it necessary to have it there from the beginning of the creation of the world? So I saw that the Rebbe Reb Herschel explains that Rashi has a difficulty. Rashi's question is that we know that Moshe Rabbeinu was built, burial was mul based par. So how could they have buried Moshe Rabbeinu in a place of Avodah Zorah? So therefore, says Rashi, that this place that Moshe Rabbeinu was buried was designated from the beginning of the world. So therefore, it's the exact same as our Gemara. Our Gemara is that, as our Mishnah says, "He baba gvuli," it was my place before your place. But then, there's a very interesting question. If somebody bought a burial place, it was his designated burial place, the person is a tzaddik, and we know Chazal teach us that a tzaddik should not be buried next to a rasha. And now this person who bought a burial place, and when they come to bury him, they discover that next to him is already buried a rasha. There are a number of questions that come up. One is, can we bury the person there? Can we bury a tzaddik next to a rasha? And the other question is that this tzaddik had bought that burial place first. And since that person had bought that burial place first, they had no right to put a rasha over there. And therefore, the question should be, can they take out the rasha from that burial place? So the first question is very connected to what we just learned, that Moshe Rabbeinu was buried even in a place that was next to a Makom Avodah Zarah. But the question is, can we take the Rasha out? The Chasam Sofer says that even if they buried a Rasha in such a place, we don't take the body out. Because he says this whole halacha of putting a person in such a place is only l'chatchila. But the Eved, we wouldn't take him out. The Miches Yitzchak in Chelek Vav, Siman Kuf Lamed Vav, discusses a situation where there was a person who was not religious, there was a tzaddik buried in a certain plot, and then they buried an irreligious person next to him. What should he do? And he goes into discussing that it's a terrible thing to do. We have to be careful not to put a rasha not next to a tzaddik. But then he quotes a Sefer Chassidim, that the one place the Sefer Chassidim Sim Reish Chaf Gimel says, "Rasha echad hayukaver bein harugim," and there was a rasha buried between such people, and he came to his family in a dream and said that this is not a place where I'm comfortable. Please remove me from here. But then there's another Sefer Chassidim that talks about a Talmid Chacham that was buried next to Rasha, and he says that the tzaddik came and said, "I feel like I'm buried next to a bathroom. So what should be done?" So the Paiskim say, because as the Chasam Sofer just said, it's very complicated, the halacha of taking a person who's buried already out from where he's buried. And what should be done under these circumstances is that we should build a mechitza. A wall should be built. And by building a wall, that could serve as the mechitza between the tzaddik and the rasha. But taking a person out from where he's already buried is something we try to avoid. Says the Mishnah further. Another explanation that he gave, "Ein oimim nasa merchetz noy ladreti." He says, When they make a bathhouse, they don't say the bathhouse is made on behalf of the Avodah Zarah. The bathhouse is not considered so secondary to the Avodah Zarah, just the opposite. Davacher, a third explanation Rabbi Gamliel gave for his using this bathhouse. So he said, if they give you much money, will you now walk into Avodah Zarah Orem about carrying mashlim for now? That nobody would treat his Avodah Zarah in a disrespectful way, walking in without clothing and washing oneself and urinating. Here, when we look at this Avodah Zarah, Zul Metez Apia Bib, the Avodah Zarah is standing next to the wastewater. The Kala Mishtin al Fanan, everybody urinates them. The Torah says, Elohim, when is there an Isser, he said, to have any benefit from Avodah Zarah? Eshenoid ba Mishum Alahal, when it's used as an Avodah Zarah. However, here, this Avodah Zarah obviously is considered something that disrespectful, and therefore the halach is that there's no issue of having doing anything here, because this is an Avodah Zarah that we don't show any respect. So our Gemara, our Mishnah, has given three explanations why Rav Gamliel felt that he could use this bathhouse. There's a discussion amongst the Rishonim, why did he have to use all three reasons? And the simple pshat that the Rishonim give is because sometimes not all of the reasons are relevant. So he wanted to explain three different reasons. By giving these three different reasons, what he was accomplishing was that even if one or two of the reasons are not relevant, you'll still have the other reasons. Ask the Gemara question, Eich Avid Hachi, how did he answer him in the Merchetz? Isn't that saying the Torah? And ask the Gemara, V'amar Rabbi Chanon, Rabbi Yochanan, B'kom Mokim Hotu Laharer, you're allowed to think the Torah, Chutz Mebeis HaMerchetz HaBeis HaKisei, you're not allowed to think Halacha, V'chi Toima. And if you'll say, what happened over here was B'Loshin Chol HaMalei, he responded to him, not in Loshin Kodesh, but ask the Gemara, V'amar Baya, Tvar Mishal Chol, Mutal Amre B'Loshin Kodesh, things that are not Torah, you could say even B'Loshin Kodesh in the bathhouse. But Dvar Mishal Kodesh, things that represent the very Torah, also Amram, may not be said in a Merchatz, even B'Loshin Chol, even if you're not saying it in Loshin Kodesh. Says the Gemara, Tana, what he meant to say was he didn't answer him in the Merchatz, in Meshiva Merchatz. What he said was Kshiyotza, when he didn't answer him at all. But why didn't he answer him at all? Because you're not allowed to say Divrei Torah in the Merchatz, and saying that you're not allowed to say Divrei Torah is also Asur. What happened was that when he Yotza, when he went out of the bathhouse, then and only then did he say to him, Ei Meshiva Merchatz, that you don't give an answer in the Merchatz. Actually, when it comes to the halacha, what you may or may not say in the Merchatz, the Ran already explains there were three rooms in the Merchatz. That is the inner room where people are completely undressed. That's where you have the actual bath. There you're not allowed to say anything. The middle room is where people get dressed and undressed. There you're allowed to just answer what the basic answer. So somebody asks you something, mutter osser, you're allowed to say mutter osser, but you're not allowed to explain divrei Torah. And then you have the room that you enter with, where that's people are completely dressed. In that room where people are completely dressed, that's where you could even say divrei Torah. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Chama by Yosef, Amar Rabbi Oshia, Tshuva Genuva Yeshiva Gamaliel Ois Agman. The answer that Gamaliel answered was really incorrect. Vani Omer, but I, Rav Chama by Yosef, say, Eina Genuva. So explains the Gemara, my Genuva say, what bothered Rabbi Oshia with the answer Rabbi Gamaliel give? The Kamalai, says the Gemara, what Rabbi Gamaliel said was, a medicine pi abiv, v'chol adam mashtim v'fanaah, that this Avodah Zarah is an Avodah Zarah that stands outside, that's disrespected. Says the Gemara, says the Gemara, so what is that people urinate? That doesn't mean that it's not Avodah Zarah, because says the Gemara, Pa'or Yechiach, we could bring a raya from the Avodah Zarah Pa'or, Shemavaran Lefana B'chol Yoim, that they defecated in front of the Avodah Zarah, and it's certainly considered an Avodah Zarah, V'ein a bottle. V'ani Omer, and Rechon Bar Yosef says that that's not a problem, Ein a Genuva. Zu, when we speak about the Pa'or, so the way the Pa'or is worshipped is by defecating. Zu Avodas B'kach. And therefore, defecating in front of the Avodah Zarah doesn't mean that you did something disrespectful to the Avodah Zarah. However, when we speak about the Avodah Zarah of Abdraiti, all the disrespectful things that they did in front of the Avodah Zarah is not the way that Avodah Zarah is worshipped. Since that's not the way that Avodah Zarah is worshipped, then the halacha is you're allowed to, when you do these things, you're showing that it's not Avodah Zarah. The Gemara over here speaks about that in the Merchatz, we're not allowed to think, we're not allowed to even think Divrei Torah. The Paiskim discuss if somebody is allowed to think, you're not allowed to think about Divrei Torah, but could somebody think about the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in such a place? The Chochmah Shleimah says that if we're not allowed to think Divrei Torah, then certainly we're not allowed to think about Hashem. The Levush Matcha disagrees. And he says that the Chinuch in his Agdoma mentions that the mitzvah of Amuna and believing in HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a mitzvah that doesn't stop for one moment. We constantly have to think about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we have to have Amuna in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, maybe it would be permissible to have that machshava even in a base akisa, in a base amerkatz. But then he suggests there's two different levels. There's one level we have to constantly believe that there's a Kodesh Baruch Hu, but to think specifically about that, that's something that we're not supposed to do in the base amerkatz. So the Gemara is saying that Rabbi Yishai said that the answer Rabbi Gamliel gave isn't really appropriate. But Rav Chamis, and we're trying to find why, Amar b'nai genus mahakha. To come up, what was Rav Gamliel's first answer? He said, Ani lo bas b'gvula. I didn't come into the bathhouse, he ba b'gvuli. The bathhouse was there before the Avodah Zarah was there. Ask the Gemara, he ba b'gvuli ma'hava. But Tanan, Avodah Zarah sheish le merchatz agina. If a Zarah has a merchatz or agina, we could use them as long as we don't show any favor to the Nachrim, then. So Rashi explains that we're not allowed to show appreciation to the Avodah Zarah when we use it. Other Rishonim Tosfos says that we're not allowed to pay the Avodah Zarah because then the Avodah Zarah has benefit. And that's why he said that it was wrong for him to have this go to this Avodah Zarah because he was benefiting from it. When a Gamliel used that Avodah Zarah, that is considered like everybody benefit. And therefore, Gamliel says that he wasn't giving any benefit to the Avodah Zarah. The Kamalai, Rav Gamliel said to him, Zuah medes abiv, v'kol adem mashtim mefneim. Says the Gemara, v'chi mashtim mefneim may have, v'tanah, the Mishnah we're going to learn that from the Gimel says, rock mefneim, and once spit in front of it, a zara, hishtim mefneim, or urinated, girer, v'zarek ba'as atzoye, if you schlept a zara and throw waste at it, harei zayin b'tayla, that it's not bottled. So we see that all these acts are not considered detracting from it being Avodah Zarah. V'ani ayma ena genuva. Hasam, in that case, the reason why it doesn't lose its status of Avodah Zarah, l'fishatu resechla, he got upset at it for a moment, but he didn't mean to completely nullify it from being an Avodah Zarah. V'hadim afayisla. Hacha, so that's why, even if he did something like that, it's not considered as if he nullified the Avodah Zarah. Hacha, but in this Avodah Zarah of our Mishnah, it's constantly being treated with that terrible disrespect. Kol shat v'shata b'zeluzo kaima.
He says that Rabbi Gamliel said that it's not that the Avodah Zarah is primary here, it's the bathhouse is primary.
So ask the Gemara, and even if we say that the merchitz is made for the Avodah Zarah, my havi, v'atanya oimi ba'ezel avodah kachavim. If somebody says this house for Avodah Zarah, koizel avodah kachavim, this cup should be Avodah Zarah, loyam aklum, shein hegdash avodah kachavim. Something that is designated for Avodah Zarah, it doesn't become osu b'hanah. And therefore, even if the merchatz was designated for Avodah Zarah, it should make a difference. V'ani oimer, ein agnuva, ned itzuri le'mitzer. Even though indeed it doesn't become Avodah Zarah, but noi, it does have the status of noi of Avodah Zarah. Noi mi'ika does have the status of noi, and we're not just not allowed to have a noi from Avodah Zarah, we're not allowed to have a noi from the noi of Avodah Zarah. The Marsham uses our Gemara for a very interesting halacha. The halacha is, and we're going to learn about this later in our Masechta, that one is not supposed to plant trees in the garden of a shul, of a Beis HaKnesses. And the question is, if somebody bought a Beis HaKnesses, bought a building for a Beis HaKnesses, and already has trees there, would you be allowed to keep those trees, or would you need to tear out those trees? And the Masham says that our Gemara just taught us that there's a difference between if you come into it, what was there first? And therefore, in our Gemara, if this was there, in our case, if the tree was there before the shul, we can leave the tree there.